Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to this special episode of the Draft Doctors, where we have gotten together with the fantasy community to get their thoughts on who their fantasy BNF is going to be for 2017. We've got a great lineup of people who've given up their time and just given their thoughts on a few players who they think is going to help them win their league for 2017. But enough about me talking. This is Steve's baby, so I'm going to pass it to him and let him drive it from here on in.
Yeah, Joe, thanks, man. Really excited to bring the listeners this podcast. We always want that big difference maker in your team, whether it's one of the top-end guys who goes to another level, whether it's a mid-range guy who jumps to the elite, or just a sleeper who provides you week-to-week value. Some of the great fantasy analysts out there are giving us their fantastic thoughts on to someone they think is really going to pop this year. And I got to say, Jono, I'm really excited to hear what these guys have to say because we've got the cream of the crop.
Yeah, and it's a star-studded field of the players they've picked.
Yes. So, I'm really looking forward to it. It's been a pet project over a few weeks, maybe a couple of months. but we got there, and I hope the people really enjoy this show because it's a bit different.
It is. And kicking it off is Warney from the Traders.
G'day, Doctors. One of my favourite bombers from a fantasy perspective has to be Brent Stanton. I've floated pig status about him with Calvin a few times, but he shoots it down. He's bloody wrong, I reckon, because the way he goes about it is nothing short of piggish, and those cheap stats he racks up is what it is all about. Now, he's actually been an underrated player, I think, over the years. Basically, since 2009, he's averaged 100-plus, except for 1 year, which was a touch under. Rocking with a 2-to-1 kick-to-handball ratio. Perfect sort of stuff. Before that unjust suspension that the Bombers did get with his mates there in the red and black, Stance enjoyed his best season and he went at 106.9. Did that in 22 games, spending a bit of time off half back. And I know sitting behind the AFL Fantasy Twitter account, a lot of people were calling for defender status to be added to him. He obviously didn't get it, but who knows, this year with how it's looking, could be the way. That's pretty much why I think he's my smoky for this year. He's been training with the defenders, smashing the time trials just like everyone else is, but he does have a tank and he's been doing that all of his career. I'm nearly calling him a lock to gain defender status at some stage. Hopefully you can draft him after, well, you do your draft after the JLT Community Series, so we get a bit of a look because he is a Jet, and if we can see him playing off half back, I think he is a bloody good option. Now, most Bombers might slide a fair bit in the draft, so a lot of coaches will probably be a bit sheepish going with any of them. So Stanton, being durable as he is, he's played no less than 20 games since 2006. It's a bloody long time. If your league mates aren't really considering, like if they're not that smart probably, or listen to this sort of stuff, he could slide as far as the 18th sort of round or even later. So who knows with that? It's going to be really hard to see how people have a read on the Bombers. I still think that he's going to be at least the high 90s, even with that defender role. It could actually increase if he's getting those cheap touches. Yeah, and he could go over the ton possibly again. At worst case scenario, he'll be serviceable for whatever you sort of draft him at, I think, as long as you're not paying overs for him. There is a risk to see how these Bombers go. That is something I'm a little bit worried about, and we can't really predict that from here. But yeah, the Bombers do have the Pies early on, and I just want to reel off this little number for you. He's got a career average of 107.1 against the Pies, so Anzac Day could be an absolute ripper. His last four games, 143, 150, 130, 137. Oink, oink, oink. Love him as a pig. Get on board. Stance, I love him. Don't go too early, but if he's sliding into the mid-teens, you could have yourself a bargain. So have a look at that and think about that as if he could end up being your D1 or D2 midway through the season or early on, especially when those position changes roll out, could be a winner. Love your work, fellas, and yeah, even you, Statesman. Good luck this year, guys.
Thank you, Warney. And I will say I did a mock draft with Warney the other day, and would you believe it, he was the pick before me. And I was actually going to go to Stanton, knowing that the positional change will come in, seeing he is the great man that makes the positional change decisions anyway. But Warney grabbed him. So smart, cluey, and great trader, and love hearing his podcast. So thank you, Warney, for providing us some information. And thanks for the little clip on the way out too, mate.
What do you think of Stanton this year?
Could be anything. We know he's the running man, but as we've seen before, he's played in defence, so I can certainly see him getting DPP halfway
he's,
through.
He's one of our favourites.
He certainly is.
Yeah.
And I think he's one of those players for leagues that I really like that do positional changes. I think he's going to be hugely important because he has been training with the defence all pre-season, and there's a fair chance they want those young fellas to take the midfield spots. So that'd be hugely important. For leagues that you prefer, Steve, without the positional changes, he's probably about another 4 or 5 rounds later. If you're going to have positional changes, be smart, pick him early, because as Warnie said, he could very much be in that D1 level.
Absolutely.
Next cab off the rank is Tragic, and you can find him at fantasy_tragic. Let's hear your thoughts.
It's the Tragic here from fantasytragic.com, and I'm here to let you in on a little gem of a forward option this year that goes by the name of Tuk Miller and why he needs to be considered for your fantasy squad in 2017. First of all, youth. He's still just 20 years of age, turning 21 in Feb, moving into his third year breakout season, and just been recently named in the leadership group for the Suns. His finish to the year in 2016. Well, his start may have been underwhelming, but once he got shifted into that midfield, Tuk went bonkers from round 16 to 23 and got on a roll for scores of 135, 84, 111, 87, 75, 139, 105 and 98 for an average of 104.25 over 8 games. The Gold Coast midfield depth. So the midfield depth at the Suns isn't what it used to be. Gaz is getting older. More injury prone, probably play forward minutes. Swallow's already been earmarked for a back flank role by Ead, and Richitelli's missing in action with a knee injury, which leaves Hall and Barlow. Barlow has to be in there because he can't play anywhere else on the ground. And Hall, though not as effective as Miller at the contested ball, will still play a role. Miller should play a solid midfield minutes, perhaps switching with Hall in a forward role. Tuk's durability, well, he's played 40 out of a possible 44 games. Enough said there. His consistency in a losing side, he was super consistent during the aforementioned round 16 to 23 last season. He had a low score of just 75 and a high of 139. That was with 6 losses and only 2 wins in those 8 games. He's a stats filler. He fills the stat sheet like an elite mid when he's on the ball. He averaged 27.8 disposals, 2.8 marks, and 6.25 tackles per game between rounds 16 to 23 last season. The only downside I can see to picking up a player like Miller would be the uncertainty of midfield minutes. You wouldn't choose him as a midfielder. It's only as a forward you could take him with any confidence. He doesn't get a whole heap of easy possession and marks. It's one side of his game that does need improvement. What he lacks in easy plus sixes, though, he'll make up in above-average tackle rates if he plays a favourable role. With slim pickings in the forward line this season, you're going to want to draft in as many players that have the ability to nab some midfield minutes. And Tuk fills the gap being undervalued anywhere between 10 to 15 points on average. That's all from me. If you want any more fantasy news, views or opinions, follow me on Twitter at fantasy_tragic or at the website fantasytragic.com. Good luck in 2017, folks.
Cheers for that, Tragic. Quality insight there onto Tuk Miller. Really looking forward to seeing how he performs in 2017.
And I think the challenge is with the Gold Coast, with bringing so many midfielders in, you're talking people like Jared Lyons, Michael Barlow, with Gary Ablett returning, with David Swallow returning, is who's going to get those midfield moments. And certainly the JLT one wasn't fantastic for the new faces. Certainly Tuk and Hawley got the opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the season. But the Tragic would be spot on the mark. If he gets a mixture of 40% in the midfield and 60% forward, then I think Tuk Miller is going to be a big, big scorer this year.
Our next fantasy BNF person is Zeno from the Over the Line Sports guys. Fire it away.
Hi, everybody. And this is Zeno from Over the Line Sports. Thanks to the team at the Draft Doctors for having me on. I'm going to talk about Jared Ruffhead. We all know what Ruffy has been through, and every one of us, Hawk supporter or not, are super excited just to see him back. but as far as fantasy coaches, and in particular drafting goes, he will not be considered as somebody to target early. And that is fair enough with the risk that is associated with picking him. But if we look back at his history, he has averaged 88, 89, 87, 92, and 84. He was once considered a premium forward, and if not at R1, a steal at R2. He has been honoured with the Hawthorn captaincy, so he is going to play. And with so many premium forwards losing forward status for 2017, I can see him being comfortably in the top 20 forwards. And if he can get back to even close to the numbers I mentioned, he could go top 10 forwards. In most drafts, he is going at about the number 30 forward, which in an 8-team competition is leaving him at around R4. R3 is a steal, so if you can get him sitting at R4, great days. Thanks everybody, and if you would like to discuss further, you can get me at OTLS_Zano. Make sure you find us on Twitter and Facebook at overthelinesports.com.au. Also search for us in iTunes to find our podcast for more information coming for the start of the fantasy season.
Yeah, I think Jared Roughead is a very interesting pick from Zano. He's certainly has got some real opportunities to get back to his high-scoring ways, and if we go by anything in the JLT1, I think you'll find he's a great mix to get in the midfield. And if that be the case, there's only the chance that that scoring rate can increase. I'm not as hot as Zano is on Jared Roughead, but I wouldn't be surprised if he proves me wrong.
Our next analyst off the rank is the Phantom, one of our favourite reads.
It's the Phantom here, resident supercoach expert at the Adelaide Advertiser. Find me on theadvertiser.com.au and superfooty.com.au, and also on Twitter at thephantomsc. Now, Supercoach Classic is my game, but deep down I'm a big draft man too. I've come to talk to you today about one giant in particular. Yes, their midfield is bursting with talent. Dylan Shield, Callum Ward, Stephen Cornelio, Lockie Whitfield, Tom Scully, the list goes on. But the one whose class could soon see him sit atop the list is Josh Kelly. The sublimely skilled left footer played every game in his third season at the Giants, averaging 24 disposals, up from 18 in 2015. This increase mirrored his supercoach output, which went from 69 to 87 points per game in 2016. These numbers should come as little surprise. The 21-year-old's scoring ability has been obvious from the beginning. On debut, Kelly managed 11 disposals, 3 tackles and 58 points. And he was only on the field for 31% of game time after coming on as a substitute in the third quarter. A week later, in his first full match, the then 19-year-old tallied 17 disposals at 76% efficiency, 3 inside 50s, 2 goals and 1 goal assist to score 107 Supercoach points in his second game at the level. Kelly went on to play 18 games his debut season of 2014, scoring more than 70 points on another 7 occasions, while also posting 2 more Supercoach tons. But he took the big step in 2016. In 22 home and away games, the classy midfielder helped himself to 20 or more possessions in all but 4 of them, registering more than 25 touches in 9 games. With the Giants midfield group only getting better, and that's a scary thought, Kelly's influence will only become greater. His role in the group is an outside one, but an all-round game is developing, as he showed in the 7 games when he registered more than 10 contested possessions. Now, they are the Supercoach numbers, but the Phantom predicts Kelly will take another step in all formats, and will probably slip down your draft order. There will come a time when his influence will become too much for opposition coaches to ignore, but will his running power in particular make the challenge of stopping him too great? The Phantom thinks so. Expect him to average more than 3 figures in all formats in 2017. And just one more little secret before I go. In another keeper league outside of Supercoach, the Phantom may have traded Scott Penderbury in a deal for Josh Kelly. That's how much I rate him. That's enough from the Phantom. Catch me on advertisers.com.au and in the Advertiser in Adelaide daily.
Well, he's a mysterious man, the Phantom, and Josh Kelly, man. I just want to remind everyone that the Phantom made that call before JLT1, and man, how could you argue with that pick? I mean, he is someone who could explode.
Has he got a time machine like Marty McFly and just went to the future and saw what he did?
There's a lot of opinion going around at the moment that maybe there's not enough ball to share with all the talent they've got on the list. But we've got to remember that it used to be a period in the fantasy world where you had a doubt who you're going to play. You actually picked a Geelong player because they all scored well. We've got currently a midfield at Sydney Swans that had four in the top 10 averaging midfielders. So the bottom line is that that club has got the ability, as those players get to that sort of age where they're starting to play their best footy in the career, and they all could be booming.
If you'd like to follow the Phantom, you can do that by checking him out on Twitter, the Phantom SC. The next guy to give his fantasy BNF, and I'm really interested to hear what this guy's got to say, is Old Ocker. Fire away, mate.
Well, the legendary spreadsheet.
Hello, fantasy community. Old Ocker coming at you with his fantasy best and fairest choice, and that's Tom Mitchell. Last year at Sydney, he was used in various roles, like a run with or a tagging role. He's been restricted from showing his true ability as an on-ball player because of the numerous options that Sydney have in the midfield. Now that he's moved to Hawthorn, and with the departure of Sam Mitchell and Jordan Lewis, Tom really gets his chance to shine as an on-baller. Surprisingly, Hawthorn actually finished on the bottom of the ladder for contested possessions last year, so Tom's a great acquisition for them. Some of Tom's interesting stats to note are that from 50% of the 22 games he played last year, his time on ground was 78% or less. Despite this, he still managed to rack up 13 scores of 100 and above. His season average time on ground was a low 80.9%, and I would expect that to increase by at least 5 to 8%, which should translate to more points. And that's without the natural improvement and consistency you would expect with being one of the main on-ballers at Hawthorn. He averaged 104 last season, and I'm predicting Tom will average 110 and 115 this year. He's very capable of making that higher too. My opinion is that he will be in the top 10 midfielders and possibly top 8, so he's a definite starter in my Supercoach team at his price. I think he's very good value. It might pay to remember that this lad created a world record 64 possession game in the NEAFL in 2014. Yeah, I know, it was only in the NEAFL, but he had a 41 disposal game in round 10 last year with a 178 Supercoach score, so he does have a high ceiling. I'm not expecting Clarko to use him as a tagger either, so he should get plenty of on-ball time. This lad is just a pure contested ball-winning beast. The downside could be that he is sure to attract the opposition's attention, and can he handle a hard tag? Will the Hawthorn game plan change this year? And yes, he has a tendency to butcher the ball a bit by foot, but he is just too good to dismiss. You can't go wrong with selecting this lad in any form of fantasy AFL. So that's Old Ocker's opinion. And you can find Old Ocker's ultimate stat sheets on the jockreynolds.com.au website. Just click on the search bar at the top of the page and type in ultimate and you will find it. You can also find me on Twitter. Cheers from Ock. I wish you all good luck in 2017 and never give up. Cheers.
Well, I don't think Old Ocker has made a bad pick there. Tommy Mitchell is going to be absolutely elite this year, off the leash. I think I've said before, the bottom line, the only thing that's been holding Tom Mitchell back was his previous coach. And now he's got the number one role. He's got all the opportunity in the world to show us how much of a beast he is. So well done, Old Ocker. I reckon she's a beautiful pick.
Yeah, cheers for that, Old Ocker. And if you'd like to follow him on Twitter, you can do that by checking him out, at OldOcker00. Also, check out his spreadsheet. He spends a lot of time doing that. Check it out.
It is a fantastic resource. And I love the pick, Jono. I'm all over Tom Mitchell as well.
I think a lot of people are all over Tom Mitchell.
Well, that's a good point.
Our next fantasy BNF comes from Archie, another one at the Over the Line Sports.
Hey, guys. It's Archie here from Over the Line Sports. There's been a lot of talk this offseason about Tom Mitchell leaving the Swans and Isaac Heaney strolling in and just picking up where Tom left off. This is largely due to his exceptional performances on the wing over the 2016 AFL Finals Series. Heaney seems to be the most logical and obvious player to benefit from Mitchell's exit to the Hawks. But what if he's not? What if there's another young player groomed through the academy system in Sydney that you'll be able to pick up much later in the draft and could very well end up sharing or even exceeding the midfield time with Heaney? Callum Mills has largely gone unmentioned over the preseason, as he's not the sexy pick, both literally and fantasy-wise, that Heaney is. Mills averaged 73 as a back in his rookie season of 2016, and I believe he will improve on this significantly in 2017. He'll still be required across halfback a bit, but with Lloyd, McVeigh and the other Swans running backs, there's less reliance on him down back than there is on Heaney up forward. With Tom Papley out injured for the start of the season, Heaney will be required to kick some goals up forward, leaving Mills to take the majority of that midfield time. You'll also be able to get Mills much later in a draft than Heaney, so it'd be much better value for you. I see him averaging easily 80 to 85 early in the season. And if you do pick him up in a draft, you could trade him out high after a few weeks if you feel that when Papley comes back, Heaney moves into the midfield. Thanks to the guys from the Draft Doctors for the opportunity to have a chat on their podcast. If you agree or disagree with my thoughts on Mills, let me know by hitting me up on Twitter at OTLSArchie. I'll also be writing some articles over the year at overthelinesports.com.au, where you can also find our own podcast that we would love you to subscribe to. Thanks again, guys, and happy drafting.
And well done to Archie. That's a great pick. And considering he made that pick before the JLT1 game, he looks like an absolute genius. He was picking there. He may be an 80 to 85 scorer. Well, he went and burst out 110 with actually only playing about 75% of the game time in JLT1. So Callum Mills, yes, I think he will share a bit of that midfield time, but I think his productive role is going to be that loose man in defence, and they certainly want to free him up. There's no doubts about that.
Yeah, cheers for that, Archie. And if you'd like to follow him on Twitter, you can check him out at OTLSArchie on Twitter. Now, one of our last fantasy BNFers before we give our picks is the father of fantasy football himself, Mr. Jock Reynolds. Fire away, son.
Hello, Draft Doctors. Jock Reynolds here. Hey, thanks for asking me to come on to say a few quick words. Thought I'd have a quick chat to you all about Matty Crouch. We unpacked in the 2017 Jock Reynolds Fantasy Footy magazine the fact that Matthew Crouch spits out a hell of a lot of Supercoach point significance per minute that he played. Had stuff all time on ground last year, and I'll tell you what, with his brother stuff now, with Scotty Thompson probably playing across half-back this season, I think we can expect Matty Crouch to be well and truly ensconced within that Adelaide midfield. And if he gets up somewhere around that standard 80% time on ground, everything suggests to me that he could absolutely break out and become a super coach boost this year. Thanks again for having me on. Great to hear you've got old Ocker on this podcast, one of the true gentlemen of fantasy footy. I'm Jock Reynolds. Thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Jock, what a great pick when you're talking points per minute. Matty Crouch is one of those young jets that are going to go through, and there's no doubt points per minute's going to be raised when I go through, but Matt Crouch is spot on the mark. I reckon he's fantastic value this year. And any draft, he's going to be much later than he should be. And I think he'll end up being a very, very solid M2, and you'll probably pick him up at M4 value.
I certainly agree. Totally agree on that one, Statesman.
Yeah, it's, wow, what a great bunch of picks. I'd love all of them in my team. Mate, if you're not following Jock Reynolds, he's at Jock_Reynolds. And, well, I think you should probably are, because it's about 800 times the downloads we get.
Oh, probably. And I just want to throw in an apology there to Zeno. I forgot to mention your Twitter, mate. It's at OTLS_Zeno.
And we did get Warnie's wrong. It's Warnie at WarnieDT.
Now we're going to give our takes on our fantasy BNF, and kick it off is Stevie Fizz.
Man, this is the fantasy best and fairest. Let me tell you, people, it is Nick Riewoldt. Why is Nick Riewoldt the fantasy best and fairest? Because he's the best fantasy forward, and you are getting him in the third round. That's right. We've been doing these mock drafts. We are seeing Nick Riewoldt taken at pick 24 and pick 25 in both of our mocks. I'm not saying he can't go higher in drafts, because obviously he can, but this is fantastic value. I mean, he was the number one point scorer for Dream Team forwards by 10 points. 10 points. Why is he not pick four or pick five? Because he's old. And new blokes have gotten in everyone's head that old blokes can't score, despite the fact that blokes like Cade Simpson have career years when they're about 64,000. Nick Riewoldt, they've worked it out. They've worked out how to manage him. He got through 21 games last year at 110 Dream Team and 101 Super Coach. This year, the captaincy's been lifted off his shoulders. He's free just to play football. That's got to be good for his knees. Get that big captaincy weight off your shoulders. He's not being talked about for salary cap because he's just too expensive, quite frankly. And so I'm not blaming people for that. But when people aren't talking about someone for salary cap, it means they're going to be a great draft value. Brett Deledio's. I think he's... Is he dead? Is he dead?
We think so.
I'm not sure where he... hasn't been seen since 2009. The Dogs pair are basically the only other guys capable in Dream Team of averaging over 100. Some people might argue, Josh Caddy's in that. No, Nick Riewoldt is the clear number one forward, and you are getting him at such a discount.
I've got a guy who's going to take that mantle. He goes by the name of Handsome Tom Lynch from the Gold Coast. We all know Tom Lynch is a superstar. Well, he's a star, but he's going to be a superstar in 2017. This is a guy who's only missed two games in 2017, in 3 years, sorry. He's the number one forward at the Suns. You've got a Fitz-firing midfield at the Gold Coast Suns. You've got Ablett, Hall, Miller, Barlow, Swallow, Hanley, all kicking it to him. This is a guy who's taken 153 marks in 2016, ranked ninth. That's going to go up. A guy who came fourth in the Coleman Medal in 2016 in a team that finished 15th. Now, these guys kicking the ball to him. He's going to kick more goals. Forget your JJKs and all that. He is going to be the Coleman medalist in 2017. Time on ground? Forget about it. 96%, my friend. He's averaged 93 in 2016. People kicking it, the midfield kicking it to him. Look out for 100-plus average to beat Nick Riewoldt, my friend.
So you think he's going to average more than Nick Riewoldt?
I'll put a slab.
That's a palmer.
I will put
That's
a slab on it.
A slab of what?
Beer.
What are we talking?
A draft and VB?
Draft and VB.
Okay, all right. Done.
All right.
It's statesman's turn. And, of course, you know what I'm going to be basing this on, gentlemen. Do you want to take one guess?
Age?
No.
Points per minute?
Potential.
Points per minute. That's exactly right.
So he's choosing another bloke who can't get on the ground.
I love Jock Reynolds' call. I reckon Matt Crouch is fantastic, but he's number two to this one. And this one is the Mr. Thigh Man himself, Ollie Wines. In 2016, he scored 100, averaged 100.6 points. His points per minute were 110 per 100 minutes. But his time on ground was only 74%. Now, there were only six players that averaged more points per minute than Ollie Wines in the 2016 season. They were Tom Rockliffe, who was 124. His time on ground was 76%. Two games were injury affected. You take away the injury affected, he's 83%. Adam Treloar, 114. His time on ground, 82%. Taylor Adams, 111. Time on ground, 78% with an injury affected game. Again, over the 80% if you take the injury game out. Zach Merritt, 124. 80%. Lockie Neal, 113. Yes, Lockie Neal, that gun. I'm talking about that gun, Lockie Neal. 113, time on ground, 82%. And he lifted from an average of 101 to 111 because he increased from 75% to 82% as predicted by the Statesman the previous year. And, of course, last but not least, Patrick Dangerfield, 117. Was his points per 100 minute. His time on ground was 84%. Now, Ollie Wines has slowly been building his tank. He's going into his fifth season. We all know that the breakout, the first one that elevates you is in year three, and generally it's year five by the time that you hit your max in potential scoring. Now, Ollie Wines is hitting that. He's had a fantastic preseason. All he has to do is increase his time on ground by 6 minutes per game, which will actually get him to 78% without any natural development, and he will be scoring 108, gentlemen. But if he actually gets to the equal level of what most midfielders rotate through, which is your 82 to 84%, he is scoring between 110 and 112, and that's with no natural development. That puts him, someone selected so far in the drafts, at a average draft position of 53 to be easily in your top 10 scorers. Gentlemen, that is the fantasy BNF for 2016.
Thank Christ you didn't say Lockie Neal. We just would have Lockie edited Neal. That out and put Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. Well, no, it's an interesting point, Staceman. We certainly like Ollie Wines.
And I'll add this. His last five rounds, he averaged 112 last year. Last seven games last year were all tons. And nine of his last 12 after the bye were tons.
Did I have Ollie Wines in our early hype train?
I believe you did.
Yeah. Statesman, copy another one of my picks.
Yep.
Shaking his head. Well, I mean, they're all some fantastic picks,
John. All quality picks. I'd love every single one of them in my team, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But that wraps up our Fantasy BNF show. I'd like to thank everyone who gave up their time to record their bit. It's Warnie, The Tragic, Zeno, Fandom, Old Ocker, Archie, and Jock Reynolds. Thank you very much. We love what you do. And if you'd like to follow us, you can do that by hitting us up on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or at Statesman33. Check us out on Facebook, The Draft Doctors there, or check out our website, thedraftdoctors.com.au.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.